Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson and our gospel readings for today. Well, my oldest son Nathan and his wife Courtney lived in Alaska for a time. That's when they were stationed up in Fairbanks, Alaska. And so, naturally, say having family up there in Alaska means, well, what do you got to do? You got to go visit them, right? Especially since all three of my grandsons were born there, you absolutely have to go and visit. So we visited them in the winter and in the summer, and we went up there, and it's amazing when you get up there. Alaska is as beautiful as people say, because when you, every time you look around you and you see the Lord's handiwork. And quite frankly, it reminded me of the first verse that we have here for in our Testament lesson from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. There is no God but the Lord who could make such beauty as we saw. In fact, my son, you know, when we were driving on a trip down towards Anchorage, he's just like, how can people just believe that this just happened? Like, I agree with him. It's like the Lord was very intentional in making things. Now, one thing about Fairbanks, if you don't know the geography of Alaska, if you were to take the big part of Alaska, Fairbanks is basically right in the dead center of it. And so what's so cool about being there in Fairbanks as we were driving down to Anchorage is that to the north of Fairbanks is a mountain range. And then when you go south, you go through another mountain range, the Denali National Forest. That's where Mount McKinley is, you know, the 20,310 feet tall. All right, it's the tallest mountain in North America. So you're driving through that mountain range. You can see, you know, on a clear day, you can see Mount McKinley. It's just enormous out there in the distance. And then when you get down to Anchorage, you see another mountain range coming up right out of the water. So on a six-hour drive, you can see three mountain ranges. It's just astounding. The beauty of the Lord is just amazing. And so here it is. It's no accident that the Lord made it. There is no doubt about it. But there are people who have doubts about the Lord. In fact, they wonder if there is a God. Sometimes they don't know if there's a God, so they make a God themselves. You know, back in the day, you know, in Isaiah's day, well, they would make him out of stone or wood or whatever and start to worship them, that kind of thing. And, well, people kind of do that today. Don't necessarily have to have a stone idol or anything like that, but it's anything that people make that they elevate above God. That's what they worship, because they put all of their interest in that instead of the Lord. And that's the point that's being made in our Old Testament lesson. For the Lord continues, who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. Who is like the Lord? That's a rhetorical question. There's no one like the Lord, all right? No one else but the Lord. But the world and the devil, oh, they would say otherwise. And that's the essence of what Jesus is talking about in our gospel reading for today. This parable here, again, it's a parable. It's talking about, you know, the kingdom of God in ways in which we can understand. So, again, keeping kind of with a gardening thing here, Jesus is talking about how he's broadcasting seed out into a field. Okay, broadcasting. So you got a handful of seed. The farmer will go out there and just throw it like that. That's where we get broadcasting, you know, for TV and radios, that signals are being sent out. Well, it gets right back to a farming term. So they're casting out seed there. And then as it starts to grow, this good seed's growing. Well, they find that there's weeds out there growing in the midst. Now, the people there are puzzled by this. It's like, well, how could there be weeds out there with that good seed? You know, wasn't good seed thrown out there? Well, what's interesting about the seed, that the bad seed, the weeds, if you will, that are out there in that field, it's darnel is the particular kind of weed. It's a grass-type weed. And when it starts to grow, it looks very similar, almost identical to wheat when it's growing up. So at the very early stages there, you can't tell what is the good part, the wheat, and what is a weed. It's growing up in between. And so they're thinking, it's like, well, hey, you want us to go out there and pull it out? And he's like, no, don't do that, because you might accidentally pull up the wheat with the weeds. Just wait. Because later on, when that weed goes to put up seed, you know, puts up a little flower just like the wheat does, it's obvious then what is the good and what is the bad. So, who would want to do such a thing? Kind of makes you wonder why people will do stuff like that. Reminds me, quite frankly, of a fraternity prank that was done when I was in college. There was a fraternity down the street, and there was another one that was right next door to it. Well, the one on the corner there, well, they were putting in a new yard. So they dug up all the grass there, and so they put in good soil, they put in fertilizer, they put in grass seed instead of laying down some sod. Well, I went to an agricultural school, and so it turns out, I found out that some of these other guys, though, went and bought some other grass seed. Grass seed that grows up really tall, the kind that cows like to eat. So they threw that out there in the yard. So that way, when that grass would grow, well, was that as good a grass as what they had in there? No, the yard didn't look quite as well as what it could have otherwise. It's that kind of mischief, that kind of thing is what we find here is the enemy is doing. And so Jesus explains that. He goes, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, Jesus makes it very clear here that the enemy is the devil. Devil's always wanted to be like God, but isn't. And so what does he do? Well, he tries to mess up things all the more, creating that mischief, if you will. And consequently, the devil, who does he go after? Well, he goes after those who already follow the Lord and those who would otherwise hear the word and start to follow the Lord. He goes after them too. And so the first thing is that we need to be aware of is that the devil is very intentional in attacking us. Okay? Just like in the parable, he sowed the weeds. He did something. He's just not waiting for you to mess up and say, ha-ha! No, he's intentionally going after you. And that's what's happening here. You see, he's intentionally doing that. And by all different kinds of means, you know, he can create strife in a family there, in a family of God. You know, people can get upset with one another. John says in his first letter, whoever says that he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. You see, the darkness is where the devil wants to keep you, okay? The devil wants to keep that strife going on because if it's hate, well then, you know, hate's a powerful thing and he likes it. And that's what might separate you from God. And if you're doing that, well then the love of God is not in you. But the devil does not always have to work with hate. He has other tempting lures that can ruin your relationship with God. No, he can do all kinds of things, like the illusion of anonymity. You know, and getting online and sinning online by what you're doing and all those kinds of activities. He works that way too. It doesn't have to be outright. It can be internal as well. And so those are kinds of things that build walls and separate us from God. And that's why it's important for us to remember that in spite of all of this, in spite of all those activities there, the Lord God loves us, and he was very intentional in showing his love. Love of Jesus is shown to us in him, his son, as he went to the cross and died for us there. That same love is shown to us as he rose from the grave alive, giving us hope, hope where we didn't have before, hope of everlasting life. You see, those promises are made personal to us. And when does that happen? Well, it happens in our baptisms. There we are forgiven our sins, and there we are given that promise of everlasting life. And there, too, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's important because the Holy Spirit is God's way of showing that, hey, it's kind of like a deposit, guaranteeing that all those promises are true and will be kept. But what other benefits do we receive from the Holy Spirit? Well, that we can go to our epistle lesson for today. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we did not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We pray to the Lord for a variety of things, but there are times in which we don't know, quite frankly, what to pray for. And that's when the Holy Spirit prays in our behalf. Who knows the mind of the Father and the Son better than the Holy Spirit? And sometimes that Holy Spirit, though, prays with groanings. Groanings, well, that's because the world in which we live wasn't supposed to be like this. It was perfect in the beginning. But as man fell, so creation fell, and all with it. And so when we sin, the Holy Spirit is groaning. It's like, not again. But yet it's that same Holy Spirit who knows what to pray on our behalf, to remind us, to encourage us that we have a Savior. Savior who loved us, who gave his life up for us. And that's what we need to know. Because you see, when it all comes down to it, we have a God like no other. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. All showing us how much God loves us. That he'd include us as part of his heavenly family. So when you think about it, just like it says there in our Old Testament lesson, fear not. Okay? You don't need to be afraid. Your God loves you. So much so that he wants you to be with him for all eternity. And that we can give thanks. No matter how many weeds are sown in our fields, we have a God who cares for us and loves us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.